Eric Zorn is the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel. It's a weekly newsletter containing commentary and comedy and whatnot. The Picayune Sentinel, you can get it for free if you email ericzorn@gmail.com. He's part of our panel, The Mincing Rascals. We'll drop another podcast on Wednesday. Hello, Mr. Zorn.
Hey, John. How's it going?
I'm over it. Did you watch the Bears game on Sunday? I know that's ancient history now, but...
Yeah, it'll never be ancient history, though, I think, in Chicago. I think that game is that finish is going to go down in Chicago lore along with the...
Double doink.
What's that?
I was thinking of the double doink, yeah.
And the interfered with foul ball and so on. It was pretty crushing. Although Paul Sullivan pointed out in this morning's Tribune that it is the middle of the season. It's not the end of things for the Bears. They can still make the playoffs. They could still make the Super Bowl, and we could still have a parade downtown. You know, it's all theoretically possible. But it was I was listening to that montage or whatever it was, that poor guy bleeding about the game, and it really comes down to coaching. I mean, that play, they should have called timeout before the last throw. They should have said, okay, let's get our Hail Mary defense in place. Let's remember what we've got to do. Don't let anybody get behind you, blah, blah, blah. All the things that you would tell a high school team. And you know, they're posturing to the crowd and tipping the ball. It was just excruciating. But, you know, just one more game, right? And the season is not all lost yet.
Yeah, I think I feel that way, too. And then the other just sports note, if I may. The World Series has been kind of disappointing. I mean, only because it's 3-0 now. We did have some remarkable moments. A walk-off grand slam never happened before. And Freddie Lynn has Freddie Freeman has home runs in 3 consecutive World Series games. And if you take the 2 previous series he played in, or the 2 previous games in the last series he played in, he's the new Mr. October. He's the Reggie Jackson of 2024. He has home runs in 5 consecutive World Series games.
That was amazing. That the walk-off grand slam in game 1 was incredible. I just want to point out that saying Freddie Lynn really dates you, man. I mean, when was Freddie? That was the Red Sox guy who hit the home run. What was it like? 35 years ago? I can't remember when that was.
I appreciate you at least noticing that there was some context to that.
There was. But game 2 was really exciting, too. The Yankees had the bases loaded. I mean, it was right at the end, and those 2 games were good. Last night's game was not all that interesting. I mean, it was. You know, I mean, I guess they did get it to 4-2, but it was still... I think that the story, the sub-story after Freddie Freeman is Aaron Judge, and what a complete washout he's been in the series.
Well, he and Ohtani each only have 1 hit, I think. And I don't know that Ohtani's going to get another one. He just doesn't seem to be himself, does he?
Well, he's got the injured shoulder, too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
That was in game 2. But yeah, Aaron Judge, when your team is winning, like Ohtani's team is winning, people can say, oh, well, yeah, he's not on his game, but the rest of the team seems to be doing well. The Yankees were counting on Aaron Judge to really come through. This was billed as this matchup between these incredible superstars. I mean, how many home runs did Judge hit this year? 55, something like that, or was it more than that? I can't remember. But he's an incredible talent, and for him just to completely wipe out in the World Series is quite a story.
Judge's numbers are all better than Ohtani's: home runs, batting average, RBI. He's, you know, not as complete a player as Ohtani is. Nobody is, but you're absolutely right. If you think Ohtani would put on a show, you really would have expected it from Aaron Judge, and you're not seeing from either. There were some close plays at the plate. There were some dumb decisions and errors made by the Yankees last night, which wasn't what you were expecting to see. Okay, enough about that. I want to talk about the school board election, which sounds really boring in a way, but you've been following and writing a little bit about this. And the thing that jumps out at me, Eric, is the amount of money that is being spent on school board campaigns. What should I know about this?
Well, they're spending millions of dollars on this. We're getting millions of dollars, and a lot of it is coming in through outside sources. And as was completely predictable, and I wrote about this several years ago when I was writing at the Tribune, saying that anyone who thinks that having an elected school board in Chicago is just going to be like a whole bunch of civic-minded citizens volunteering to be on the school board and giving up their time to help run the schools was crazy, because you could look at what happened in Los Angeles, where they can spend up to $20 million on a race for four of the school board seats there. That in big cities, when school boards are elected, they become national referenda almost on the people who want school choice, charters, vouchers, and people who want to focus on neighborhood schools and on teachers unions. So you've got the Chicago Teachers Union here donating lots of money to candidates in the 10 districts that are electing school board representatives in the in next week's election. And then you've got outside sources, the Charter School Network and the Republican Party, Illinois Policy Institute, all these people supporting
Jim Walton.
And some major donors who are supporting the other candidates running against. So in my district, you've got the candidate who's supported by the more conservative people, and then you've got the woman who's supported by the CTU. And you're left having to decide, having to make a choice between these two entities. For a lot of us, and I'm one of them, I'm a union guy. I support teachers. I'm not that comfortable with the idea of the Chicago Teachers Union having both the mayor's office and running the entire school board. I think that there needs to be some balance of power in something like that. So I'm not sold on the idea of just electing CTU endorsed candidates. So it's a tough situation, and there was a story in the Sun-Times this morning that there's a movement afoot to try to clamp down on the campaign spending that's going on.
And
you can't do that. We've tried over and over again to get big money out of politics. Just can't do it. It's a First Amendment issue.
But aren't you a little suspicious? If I just want to read from that article you're referring to, Jim Walton, billionaire heir to the Walmart family fortune, most recently contributed $400,000 to the INCS Super PAC October 3rd. Using his Arkansas address, election records show, he gave the group $350,000 earlier in the year and has handed over $2.3 million to them since 2016. And I'm suspicious of if a guy in Arkansas is spending $3 or $4 million on the Chicago school board election, then I think there's something rotten about that. Why would they care? It seems so suspicious to me.
It's all part of a national effort to weaken teachers' unions and to put into place things like school vouchers and tuition funds for private schools. It's an attack on public education in a lot of ways. And it was inevitable that was going to happen. We saw it happening in Los Angeles, and all the people who are agitating for, this is going to be democracy, we'll have an elected school board. I still would much rather have the mayor appointing the school board and having the mayor be held responsible instead of having these really expensive elections. You think of all this money that the Waltons are giving and that the teachers union is giving. That money could be going toward school construction or school supplies. They're always talking about, we want more librarians, we want more nurses. Well, if there's money floating around like that, let's try to use that money for something good rather than these mailers. So a mailer that I got accused the woman who's running in my district, Michelle Pierre in District 1, of being a marionette for Donald Trump and for being behind his Project 2025, which is completely not true. I mean, I've read her materials and read the. She's in favor of school choice. But she's not a radical Republican. And yet these mailers are really ugly, and all this money is coming into these races. And I think it's poisonous. It's toxic. I would just rather have the mayor be responsible for schools in these big cities, so that big money from all over the country is not coming in and telling us how to run our schools.
Yeah, but you see the problem with that too, don't you? So you want to hand all of that to Brandon Johnson?
I do, because that's the way we've been doing it since Mayor Day, the second Mayor Daley.
Really? That's your reason for it? That's the way we've always done it?
Well, no, I think it was in 94. Well, no, but I think it was in 95 that the schools were handed over to the mayor of Chicago rather than, you want someone to be responsible, because you're not going to be able to hold your individual school board member responsible. There's going to be 20 of them plus a chairman of the board, a 21 member board. It's going to be a poop show. I mean,
it's going to be a poop show.
Those meetings are good. The whole thing is, and how are you going to hold someone responsible when the schools start going bad? You got 21 people to hold responsible.
Okay. But Eric, then in the moment, then you're going to hand the reins to Brandon Johnson and the CTU, the Chicago Teachers Union.
I would rather do that. I would rather do that and then have a chance in 4 years to have a referendum on Brandon Johnson and his stewardship over education.
Got it. You can always try. Got it. Okay, but then go back to that mailer you got. You said, or the Jim Walton story, giving millions of dollars to get school vouchers. You called that money going to hurting public education. So then you would, in that case, favor the CTU-backed candidate in that case, right?
And I would normally, yeah. I'm a real skeptic when it comes to voucher programs.
I know, but I know plenty of people who are saying, tell me who the Chicago Teachers Union is endorsing for school board, and I'll vote the other way. This
yes.
looks to me like a rock and a hard place then for some voters.
It is. It was for me as well. I completely admit to being conflicted about this because normally I side with teachers and teachers unions,
yeah.
and I think that I think that public education is a real value in our society, and I'm very skeptical of the idea that if we just turn things over to private schools and religious schools that things are going to be better for everyone. Now they're going to be better for some students, but not as good for others. It's a tough situation. I'm not saying that I know the answer to it, but I do know that I don't want people in Arkansas making that decision for people in Chicago.
Well, they are going to try with that kind of money. If the Waltons can't print it as fast as they already have it, or something like that. You voted, obviously, Eric. So was there a long line when you voted?
There was. It wasn't a long line, but it was a very slow-moving line. I was second in line after I registered or went to my early voting place. And it took about 10 minutes and there were 8 voting carrels and people were just sitting in there. And I was thinking, like, what are these people doing? They can't make up their minds. What's the problem? And then when I got into the voting booth, it took me about 10 minutes to vote because there are all these judges you got to vote for, water reclamation district. The ballot just went on and on. And I'm really urging people to get out and early vote, bring a book, spend some time, but get out and do that, because if you wait till Tuesday, I think it's going to be a long, long line that might really discourage you from voting. So I really, no matter who you're voting for, I think you should get out and do that now.
Yeah. That's interesting you say that. I was planning on voting on Election Day. That's just my habit, and I'm lazy. I haven't figured, like, can I go to the place? Hey, Eric, can I go to the place where I'm going to vote on Election Day today and vote? Is there somebody there?
No, there's not. There are election sites. I mean, the one that I voted at and the one that you would probably vote at is up at the north. Is up at North Park Village,
mm-hmm.
Off Pulaski by Peterson. That's it's a really well-run early voting site. A lot of parking there. You can vote at any of the locations where there's early voting in the city. I recommend that one because I know you don't live too far from there, and I certainly don't live too far from there. It's pretty good, but you can look on the City of Chicago website and find those places.
We were talking earlier, and we will on the Rascals this week, about the non-endorsements by newspapers, Jeff Bezos, particularly at the Washington Post. And this listener says, I don't believe Jeff Bezos is going to lose any sleep over the fact that he's lost 200,000 subscribers. The newspaper is just a mere toy for him money-wise. If you really want to make a statement, people should boycott Amazon. I'm not sure people would inconvenience themselves this way, but if you really want to get Jeff Bezos's attention, go after his other commercial endeavors. That's where he's made his fortune. The Rascals will talk about that. What's the headline for you on all of that? Oh, you are not a fan of newspaper endorsements anyway, right?
No, I'm not. I am on lower races, on down ballot races for, state rep and for water reclamation district and judges. I think they're fine. I think a lot of voters appreciate having a knowledgeable newspaper look at the issues and make some recommendations, or at least be able to weigh those recommendations. When it comes to president and Senate and governor, people have made up their minds, and I think they end up resenting a newspaper for telling them how to vote when they feel like they're perfectly capable of evaluating the candidates themselves. I know that the Tribune is not endorsing this year, but it's not out of any cowardice on the part of the editorial board. It's because Alden Global Capital, the people who own the Tribune, the hedge fund that owns the Tribune, decreed 2 years ago that they didn't want any gubernatorial or senatorial president. And I think the Tribune needs to be highlighting that, because I get letters all the time from people saying, when's the Tribune going to endorse for president? And they're not going to. And I think they need to explain why, because I think they don't want to get caught. They really can't afford to get caught in one of these Washington Post traps. Tribune doesn't have 200,000 subscribers, I don't believe, to lose. So they've got to make it clear to their readers that this is not the choice of the Chicago Tribune. It's the choice of Alden Global Capital. And it's pretty obvious when you read the editorials in the Tribune that they are very skeptical of Donald Trump, and they are fairly enthusiastic about Kamala Harris. They just can't come out and say that. So,
well, the fact that they made that decision 2 years ago doesn't mean it's not mercenary. I still land there. We'll talk more about that on the podcast. I did not know who Lil Durk was until his name popped up in the news this week. What should I know and why should I care about that?
Well, Lil Durk was arrested in Florida on Thursday as he was boarding a plane to Italy on charges that he orchestrated a 2022 murder-for-hire plot against a rival rapper. He had donated $150,000 to Mayor Brandon Johnson's campaign. And reporters asked Johnson if he was going to return the money, and he started his usual gobbledygook about, well, I'm not going to assume the guy's guilty until he gets a trial, and then blaming that he's calling him a black man, making sure that we knew that Bill Durk was black, and just one of these. It was such an easy decision that he could have made, and both newspapers have said this, which is like, look, you don't have to give the money back to Little Durk. You can give it to an anti-violence project. You know, make a stand here. You don't have to declare him guilty to say that you don't want to have this money. When the federal government arrests you on a murder-for-hire charge, that's pretty serious. You know, it's not, it's, yeah. He gets the presumption of innocence in court, but politically he does not. Politically, you should distance yourself from him. It was as I'm writing for tomorrow. It was a bunny. It was a layup for Johnson just to say, I'm giving this money to, you know, this anti-violence fund or, you know, something like that. And it all would kind of go away. But instead, he just steps in it again and doesn't distance himself from Lil Durk. And I don't understand who's advising him. He's got a new communications person coming on. He fired his old one, I guess. And I'm hoping that he gets his act together in terms of just, you know, things like this. I mean, when you've got a really tough situation with property taxes and the city budget, he's giving an address today about that on Wednesday. And it's going to be a real challenge, but this was not a challenge. This was not hard. This is one of the easier things you're going to ever have in politics, and that he blew it is really stunning to me.
Well, I think it's hard for people to give back money, especially if it's close to seven figures. It's not close to seven, but the more it is, it seems like the harder it is. But he, to me, that would be put it in an escrow, if nothing else. Distance yourself some way from the cash.
Yes, exactly. You're right. So you should be working for him, too. On
He won't take my call. He comes out with Lisa Dent every now and then. I got to talk to her about that. And I'll talk to you and our fellow rascals tomorrow on the Mincing Rascals podcast. Thank you, Eric Zorn.
That'll be fun, John. See you there.
Eric publishes a newsletter. And if you email ericzorn@gmail.com, he'll sign you up. It's